Welcome to Zikru Daf Sin Mani Memra by Ram Goldray and today Zekus Baba Kama Daf Mem, the fourth parak Shor Shenagach. The fourth parak has been generously sponsored with Zecher Nishmas Rosh Hadvor Bas Aharon HaKohen Al HaSham. May her neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on are when a brisa teaches that where an apotropos was appointed over orphans' oxen, kofar is not paid for a mood killing someone. This tana holds kufar kapara, the kofar payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. Rav Chisda quotes a brisa to identify this tana. The pasuk says, "V'nasim pidyon nafsho," and he shall give a ransom for his life. The Tana Kama says it means to make nizak, the value of the damaged party, meaning the one killed. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochim ben Broka says it means to make mazik, the value of the damager, meaning the ox's owner. Rav Chisda assumes that the Tana Kama holds kofar is a monetary payment, so he pays the value of the nizak who was killed. And Rabbi Shmuel holds it's an atonement, so the owner pays his own value. Rav Papa says that both opinions can agree that kofar is an atonement, but disagree whose value is paid to obtain that atonement based on drushos. Point number two is Tana Braisa Shal Becheskas Tum. If one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tum, the Nimsa Muad, and was found to be a Muad, Bali Mishal Mechatsi Nezek, Mishal Mishal Mechatsi Nezek, the owner pays half damages, and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tum, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The more asks that the borrower could claim, Torishi Ili, Arya Loshi Ili, I borrowed an ox, not a lion, meaning an animal prone to damage and should be exempt, and answers the cases where the borrower discerned its violent nature. Although if it had been a tum, like the borrower thought, only half damages would be paid, and only from the animal's body, the borrower would have had to replace that loss to the owner, and here too, only pays half. Although the borrower can claim he would have hidden the ox in a swamp to avoid payment if it had been a tum, the cases were based and seized it immediately. And point number three, the Braisa just mentioned, the animal remained a mood when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds Rishus in a Mashana. The change in Rishus does not change the ox's status. The more as the Braisa's second case indicates the opposite. Hud Bebe Shoel, the Chiziru Lebalim, if it became a mood in the borrower's house and he returned it to the owner, Balim Misham Mechatsi Nezib Shoel Patamaklum, the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tum status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the brises are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Rabbi says the brisa holds a change in rishus does not change its status. Still, it reverts to tum status when it's returned to the owner because he can say it's not within your power to make my ox a muad. Rabbi Papa says the brisa holds a change in rishus does change its muad status, but in the first case, where someone borrowed a muad, it remains a muad, because wherever it goes, its owner's name is upon it, and therefore it's still considered his rishus. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A brisa teaches that where an apotropos was appointed over orphans' oxen, kofar is not paid for a muad killing someone. This Tana holds kufar kapara, the kofar payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. Rav Chisda quotes a brisa to identify this Tana. The pasuk says, "V'nasim pidyon nafsho," and he shall give a ransom for his life. The Tana Kama says it means to make nizak, the value of the damaged party, meaning the one killed. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho, Rabbi Yochim ben Broka says it means to make mazik, the value of the damager, meaning the ox's owner. Rav Chisda assumes that the Tana Kama holds kofar is a monetary payment, so he pays the value of the nizak who was killed. And Rabbi Shmuel holds it's an atonement, so the owner pays his own value. Rav Papa says that both opinions can agree that kofar is an atonement, but disagree whose value is paid to obtain that atonement based on drushos. Point number two is Tana Braisa Shal Becheskas Tum. If one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tum, the Nimsa Muad, and was found to be a Muad, Bali Misham Mechatsi Nezek, Misham Misham Mechatsi Nezek, the owner pays half damages, and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tum, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The more asks that the borrower could claim, Torishi Ili, Arya Loshi Ili, I borrowed an ox, not a lion, meaning an animal prone to damage and should be exempt, and answers the cases where the borrower discerned its violent nature. Although if it had been a tum, like the borrower thought, only half damages would be paid, and only from the animal's body, the borrower would have had to replace that loss to the owner, and here too, only pays half. Although the borrower can claim he would have hidden the ox in a swamp to avoid payment if it had been a tum, the cases were based and seized it immediately. And point number three, the brisa just mentioned, the animal remained a mood when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds Rishus in a Mashana. The change in Rishus does not change the ox's status. The more as the brisa's second case indicates the opposite. Hud Bebe Shoel, the Chiziru Lebalim, if he became a mood in the borrower's house and he returned it to the owner, Balim Misham Mechatsi Nezib Shoel Patamaklum, the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tum status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the brisos are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Rabbi says the brisa holds a change in rishus does not change its status. Still, it reverts to tum status when it's returned to the owner because he can say it's not within your power to make my ox a muad. Rav Papa says the brisa holds a change in rishus does change its muad status, but in the first case, where someone borrowed a muad, it remains a muad to call makom sheholech shem ba'alav alav, because wherever it goes, its owner's name is upon it, and therefore it's still considered his rishus. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem, and our standard siman relates to mayim, water, and we use a pool to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. The apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofar. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tam, discovered the shore was a muad, indicating rishus ain't a mishana. While another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became a muad in his rishus, reverted to becoming a tam when returned to the owner. Once again, slow motion. The apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool. Pool? That must be on Daf Mem, Mayim. The apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofar, which reminds us, a brisa teaches where an apotropos was appointed over orphans' oxen, kofar is not paid for a mood killing someone. This time holds kufar kapara, kofar payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. The Gemara brings malchokas regarding whose value is paid in kofar, the value of the nizak or the mazik. So the apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofar. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tam, discovered the shore was a muad, indicating rishus ain't a mishana, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, shal becheskas tam. If one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tam, venimsa muad, and it was found to be a muad, the owner pays half damages and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tam, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The Gemara clarifies the cases where the borrower discerned initially the animal's violent nature. So the apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofar. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tam discover the shore was a muad, indicating rishus ain't a mishana. While another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became a muad in his rishus reverted to becoming a tam when returned to the owner. Which reminds us, in the brisa I just mentioned, the animal remained a muad when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds rishus ain't a mishana. The change in rishus does not change the ox's status. The Gemara asks that the brisa's second case indicates the opposite. If it became muad in the borrower's house and he returned to the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tam status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the brisos are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Two more answers are brought. So once again, the apotrop is watching Yisomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofar. Was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tam discovered the shore was a muad, indicating rishus ain't a mishana. While another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became a muad in his rishus reverted to becoming a tam when returned to the owner. All right, so now it's time for four Balabak Chazar. Daf Lamed Vav. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Vav is Lulav. So here goes. The shore which had horns that looked like Lulavim, Lulavim. That must be wearing Daf Lamed Vav, Lulav. The shore which had horns that looked like Lulavim, that gored four oxen one after the other, as a tam, which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, Shor shenagach arba v'chamisha shvarim zeh achar zeh. If an ox scored four or five oxen, one after the other is a tam, Reb Meir says, Yisham l'achron shebehem, he pays the last of the victims his half damages, Yimesh b'mosu yachzer shelofanav, and if there's more value in the damaging ox after this payment, that excess is returned to the prior victim, and if there's still more, it's given to the victim before him. V'achron achron nizkar, the rule is the later victim benefits. Rav explains that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that the damages of a tam are owed as a debt. So the shore which had horns that looked like lulavim, that gored four oxen one after the other, as a tam, belonged to a lulav seller who was disappointed when he was awarded a meager sela medina for the boshes of being struck in the ear. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Hatokeo chavero nosin lo sela, one who strikes the ear of his fellow, pays him a sela for boshes in addition to the other payments. And the Gemara quotes a statement of Rav, kol kesav amr b'tor kesav tzori, any amount of silver mentioned in the Torah is Tyrian currency, v'shal divrayim kesav medina, and any amount of silver taught by the rabbis, such as the boshes payment for striking someone's ear, is in provincial currency. So the shore which had horns that looked like loving, that gored four oxen one to the other, as a tam, belonged to a lulav seller who was disappointed when he was awarded a meager sela medina for the boshes of being struck in the ear, that he told the judge who was a gabbai tzedakah to give it away to the poor. Which reminds us, when the man who was struck was told he would only receive a sela medina, he said, since it's only half as this, I don't want to give it to the poor. Afterwards, he tried to retract, but Rav Yosef told him he could not retract. For zachu be'anim, the poor had already acquired the money. Although there were no poor people there to make the acquisition, anin yad anin anan, we are the hand of the poor and acquired it on their behalf. Rashi explains that Rav Yosef was a trustee for the local charity fund. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The shore that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, laser tag, that must mean we're in Daf Lamed Zayin. The shore that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the din of a shore that is moved to certain species and not to others. It pays full damages for what it's moved for and half damages for what it's not moved for. So the shore that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, and then began to knock down alternating red team players, which reminds us, we discuss an animal which is moved with sirugin, moved for damaging in an alternate fashion, where it gores the first ox, but not the second ox, the third one, but not the fourth one, and so on. So the shore that was moved to knock down red team laser tag players, but not the players from the blue team, and then began to knock down alternating red team players, turned out to be an ox of Hekdesh, and was putter from payment, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Shor Shi Yisrael Shenagach Shor Shel Hekdesh. If the ox of an ordinary Jew gored an ox of Hekdesh, Mishal Hekdesh Shenagach Shor Shel Hediot, or an ox of Hekdesh gored an ox of an ordinary Jew, Pater, the owner is exempt because the Pasuk says, Shor Re'ehu, the ox of his fellow, implying, Lo Shor Shel Hekdesh, and not an ox of Hekdesh. Daf Lamed Ches. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a Devrolach, a liquid, and we often use chicken soup. So here goes. The non-Jew being covered with a bowl of chicken soup, that must be more on Daf Lamed Ches, Davar Lach. The non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his short tum goring a Jew's ox, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a Jew's ox gores a Gentile's ox, he's putter, but in the reverse case, the Gentile pays full damages even for a tum. The Gemara asks that if Re'ehu excludes a Gentile from receiving damages from a Jew, he should also exempt him from paying damages to a Jew, and if he's not excluded, then a Jew should also have to pay his damages. Rabbi Avo answered based on a pasuk that the Kush Baruch Hu saw that the Sheva Mitzvahs, which B'nai Noach accepted upon themselves, since they did not keep them, Amud Vehitim Ramonin Yisrael, he arose and released their money to Yisrael. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his shore, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Mitzuvah Va'osa table, which reminds us, Rabbi Chinina said, Gadol HaMitzuvah Va'osa Yosem M'Misha'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa, greater is the one who acts to fulfill a law who is commanded to do so, the one who acts but was not commanded to do so. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for a short tum, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Mitzuvah Va'osa table and were being served by two daughters of a man who slept in a cave, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ein Kodesh Baruch Hu mekapech schar kol bria." Kodesh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any creature. Afil schar sicha na, even reward for fine speech. For regarding Lot's older daughter who named her child from him, Moav, from father, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Va'al tiskar b'mochama," do not incite war against Moav, implying that although they could not wage war against them, they could enact levies against them. But regarding Lot's younger daughter, who used the less explicit term ben ami, son of my people, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Va'al tiskar b'm." Klal, do not incite against them at all. Dafil angari l'tavid b'hu, meaning that even levies may not be enacted against them. Daf Lamed Tes. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Simmon. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more in Daf Lamed Tes, letter. The mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox, which reminds the Gemara discusses if damages of an incompetent person's mu'ud are collected from him or his apitropos. So the mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a mu'ud, which reminds us in a braisa about an owner who became incompetent or traveled abroad. Sumko said, it remains in its tum state, adshi idubo b'nei balim, until they testify about it before the owners. But the Chachamim say we appoint an apitropos and accept testimony about the oxen in his presence. If the owner returns to competency, Sumko says, chazot muso, it returns to its tum state. But Rav Yossi says, harbu cheskaso, it remains in its current mu'ud state. Since Simcha is made clear in the second case that the ox did become a mu'ud, the Gemara reinterprets his statement in the first case, Hari Hubit Mimuso. It remains in its entirety, meaning we do not reduce his ownership of it by collecting half damages from its body. So the mailman who was appointed as an apitropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a mu'ud, was notified that because he only did a shmir b'chusa, he was chayv chasi nezek, because of Sad Tamus Bim Koma Omedes, which reminds us, in a Brice Rabbi Yaakov said that the ox of an incompetent person pays half damages. Rav explains the cases on Mu'ud, which he guarded with a Shmir Bechusa, an inferior guarding. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yudu holds on Daf Mem Hey, Tzad Tamus Bim Koma Omedes, the Tam portion of a Mu'ud remains in its place, such that half of the full payment retains the halakas of Tam. He further holds like Rabbi Yudu there, that although an inferior guarding does not exempt a Tam from half damages, it does exempt a Mu'ud from full damages. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we see that Kush Baruch Hu does not withhold schar from any creature, even reward for fine speech, which we learn from Lot's daughters? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn orphans are not chayv and kofra, and the Gemara brings machokas, how kofra is evaluated, according to the value of the nizak or the mazik? That's on Daf. Mem. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss whether a mu'ud returned to its owner remains in its mu'ud state? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn if one claimed wheat from someone and the other person admitted owing him barley? That person is pater even from paying him barley? That's on Daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss wine ox became a mu'ud in the borrower's rishus becomes a tum when returned to the owner? That's on Daf. Mem. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you the case of a shore which is mu'ud lamino but not mu'ud usha'eno mino? That's on Daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you discuss whether damages of an incompetent person's mu'ud are collected from him or his apotropos? That's on Daf. Lamed Tes. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you discuss what the din is in a case where one thought he was borrowing a tum, but in fact it was a mu'ud? That's on Daf. Mem. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn Rabbi Chanina said, Gadol ha-metzuva va'osa yoser, mimisha eino metzuva va'osa? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn about the person who won the case with Kesef Medina and he could not retract when he said, give the money to the poor? That's on Daf. Lamed Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zilchu wishing you a great day and great learning.